What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select's Fightful Weekly Podcast. We have a bunch of news for you guys. We have the Q&A, just a whole bunch. Let's go ahead, get into it. TNA Wrestling, we had reported last week, unfortunately, a couple different times, they had to adjust the Spartanburg, South Carolina tapings. Ultimately, they ended up having to cancel them altogether. It's a bummer. The hurricane ended up causing major issues. There were staff that were already on the scene that faced a rough situation as power went out in the hotel they stayed at. There were no vacancies elsewhere. They had to charge their devices and their cars, a lot of stuff like that. Due to the dangers of the hurricane and the lack of the power at the venue they were running, the decision was made to cancel those shows. Now, they had put an awful lot into promoting these tapings. They wanted to continue their hot streak. They had sent the Hardy Boys to Spartanburg early to do media. I did media with them as well. We've heard numerous discussions, though, about plans moving forward for TNA. Among them included the possibility of running Skyway Studios in Nashville next week, which is where they filmed during the pandemic and hosted Slammiversary 2021. The word relayed to many was that this week's of TV could end up being a best of Bound for Glory show. So hopefully TNA can get back in the fold and get back in there, because this was their build to Bound for Glory that got canceled. Powerhouse Hobbs is close to returning to the fold. Recently, we reported that Powerhouse Hobbs was back at AEW tapings and backstage. He had been at a couple, and I've since learned he's been at all of them. He was at Grand Slam recently as well. Now, he was doing in-ring training ahead of getting cleared, but we're told that he has been cleared to return to in-ring action. He suffered a knee injury in April in a match with Jon Moxley back when Jon Moxley was the IWGP heavyweight champion. And he had to undergo surgery, was expected to miss quite a bit of time, but we're talking about 5 months later, he is good to go. He has been backstage. He's back on the road. AEW has their talent do pretty extensive in-ring testing to prepare for their returns. But when he left, he was involved with Don Callis. We'll see where that goes from here, but Will Hobbs, great to see him back. Saraya is going to be back too. She had a match at AEW Collision Grand Slam that ended up getting a lot of positive reception backstage. I thought one of her better matches in AEW. It was confirmed to Fightful that Saraya has re-signed with AEW on a one-year agreement. Now, she did lose to Jamie Hayter at the Collision Grand Slam show, and she and AEW had been talking about her future and what it would hold. The original deal that she had was 2 years with a one-year option from AEW. Now, in AEW's deals, they have to let talent know a month beforehand, or I think at least 30 days beforehand, whether they're going to exercise that option or not. Now, just to clarify, I don't have this necessarily guaranteed is what happened, but this is what I've been led to believe, was that AEW had said, well, we're going to decline that option, but we are going to offer you a different one-year deal for the same duration at a different rate. I can't speak to whether or not she took a pay cut or maybe a cut on dates or anything like that, but she will remain with AEW until September of 2025. Also confirmed, MVP has signed with AEW. He debuted at AEW Grand Slam Dynamite, targeting Prince Nana and sort of recruiting Swerve Strickland, who is off TV. Now, Swerve was always planned to at least make an appearance at WrestleDream, I'm told, even if a match wasn't scheduled, but he does have this absence, and this is a deal that AEW wanted to nail down. Lashley and Shelton Benjamin all are expected to join him. But in case there was any doubt, MVP is signed to AEW. The deal came together in the last couple of weeks. There was some back and forth with negotiating and all that, and they ended up getting the deal done. This is to be Swerve's next big program as he emerges out of the AEW world title scene. And I know it's one that a lot of people internally are excited about. If you zoom in on MVP's business card, you'll notice it says Hurt Syndicate, by the way. The Lucha Bros. Oh, man. Rey Fénix and Penta. So Fightful reported this summer that the contracts of Penta and Rey Fénix were set to expire this year, with WWE interested in bringing them aboard. Beyond this, Penta had told numerous sources back in June and since then that he'd been in contact with WWE, stated he and his brother were a package deal and they wanted to go to the WWE main roster as opposed to NXT. We're told that AEW had become aware of this, saw evidence of at least one of the talent discussing their plans to move to WWE this summer. AEW had offered Lucha Bros a contract this summer, although there are some that we've spoken to that don't believe that the desire of which AEW wanted to keep the Lucha Brothers was necessarily communicated. And I believe that may have led to some of the miscommunication there. Now, there were plans to put the Trios titles on Pac and the Lucha Bros at All In. However, Penta and Phoenix didn't sign new deals. But sources that we spoke to in AEW claimed they had not discussed or communicated plans to leave either. Now, Wrestling Observer reported that a few months had been added to Penta's deal due to injury time by AEW, and Phoenix had substantially more. Now, this matches up with what Fightful heard was likely to happen, as sources within WWE had been made aware as of last week that Phoenix would not be imminently joining the company as they had expected. Phoenix missed over 6 months between October 2023 and June 2024. He missed 3 months from January 2022 to April 2022, and then 3 months in 2021 as well. When time was added to Penta's deal, we're told that was around the time he publicly tweeted that his present was AEW, and he was hoping that the situation didn't result in Phoenix being held to the injury time on his deal, as there is a lot more on his. Now, we have not yet heard on if AEW plans on having them work in the future, if they're on ice, if the Lucha Brothers are willing to work, but it was confirmed to us that they are under contract. They're still being paid. We did not get a straight answer as the motivation of extending the deals outside of AEW, wanting to get the contracted amount of time out of the duo that they were signed for per the terms of that contract. Now, it is expected by talent that they will be asked to put other wrestlers over at the very least if they are planning on leaving. Now, when discussing contract tampering, it's a lot different in wrestling than it is the NBA or Major League Baseball or the NFL. Those are leagues, and those are overseeing teams that are discussing contract. There is no league or oversight above AEW and WWE. You're allowed to inquire about somebody's contract. So there's not really much of a contract tampering, so to speak. It's not really a law in sports. It's a rule in leagues. However, tortuous interference with a contract that causes a breach is. And that's what's actually being discussed here when people say contract tampering. This is why if you listen to any of the Bruce Pritchard podcasts, he'll talk about how when a lot of people would approach him about contracts, he would say, are you under contract? If so, we can't really talk to you about coming here. Now, that would definitely fall under what AEW has, is they had a lot of room to extend that deal. And there was allegedly another deal being worked out there. Injury time, though, has been added for talent within AEW, WWE, and TNA. It's been done with AEW talent a number of times, and we've reported it. TNA has done it a number of times. WWE threatened to add injury time to Dax and Cash unless they turned over trademarks that they had personally paid thousands of dollars for. So there are definitely definitely a lot of situations here that are really case-by-case basis. But contrary to reports last week, Penta and Phoenix are not signed by WWE in any capacity. WWE has never acknowledged any reports or rumors about them in any official capacity. So a lot of people were ahead of things there, and that just was not the case. Person who is signed, though, Matt Justice, a standout independent talent. Fightful Select has learned that Matthew Justice has signed a multi-year contract with Major League Wrestling. Now, he has been in MLW since the start of 2023, but was not under contract. We're told that Court Bauer actually approached Justice about signing with MLW weeks back, and the deal was wrapped up pretty quickly. He is set for a big push in MLW. He was a part of one of the most watched matches in company history, which was a dumpster match that aired on Reels. He was signed to WWE in 2011, but was released a few months later and competed in FCW. He made a name for himself in GCW, where he was a regular for years. But then I think he recently returned there. I think he recently popped up there. But he also worked a series of dark matches in WWE, 2010, 2011. He was in like an exhibition Royal Rumble at one point, and he did an ROH dark match back in 2012. So congratulations to Matt Justice. AJ Styles. Man, media literacy is lost on some people. We had a couple people being like, yeah, oh my God, Fightful was wrong. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Last week we had reported that AJ Styles was fine. He was healthy. He just wasn't on TV at that point. But the big part of it was that numerous sources that I've spoken to within the wrestling industry, including some close with him, believe that AJ Styles' contract is up either late this year or early next year. Now, there are so many people that are saying, well, didn't he re-sign here and didn't he re-sign there and all that? He had picked up an option. And those that I spoke to believe that there was another year-long agreement that kept him there for a little bit more time. Now, they can always come to short-term agreements, long-term agreements, anything like that. But we have not gained confirmation from Styles' reps or WWE on his status, but he has not been injured or anything like that. He worked live events along the way as well. NXT, the Performance Center, going through some changes. September 24th, NXT had their last show on the USA Network before they begin airing on the CW this week. It will also be the beginning of a two-week trip on the road for the brand in Chicago and St. Louis, and they are using that opportunity to make some changes at the Performance Center in Orlando. So we're told that the current set was adjusted, changed, that you know, some updates planned in that regard. Unclear if there will be updates or an entirely new set that's brought in. Potential tryout talent were in the crowd last Tuesday. CM Punk was not at this past week's show. He filmed his segments the week prior. Mike Rome returned this week after the birth of his child. Congrats to him. And the show's long overrun almost caused the show to be pulled from the air by USA, with the show finishing seconds before those NXT reports, courtesy of our good friend Corey Brennan, who does a great job on the NXT and the UK beat. Cardi B appeared in a new WWE PLE announcement with SummerSlam headed to New Jersey in 2025. This is not the first time that WWE tried to get Cardi B involved. In the spring of 2021, Fightful Select learned that WWE was hopeful that they could use a Cardi B song for SummerSlam of that year and even have her make an appearance. But when Cardi B announced her pregnancy, that put the possibility of such happening on hold. WWE did also reach out to Mike Tyson and Megan Thee Stallion that year. WWE is still looking to incorporate more mainstream stars into their programming and PLE announcement, just to definitely broaden that base. And this also was the reason why when they added the Megan Thee Stallion SmackDown song, I was like, why are people acting like this is new? WWE had inquired about Megan Thee Stallion 3 years ago. WWE Bad Blood. USA Network last weekend ran an article indicating that CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Hell in a Cell would be the main event of the Bad Blood PLE, which would make sense in many ways considering how high profile the feud is and the Hell in a Cell stipulation. But the talent involved, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and all the people involved in the filming of their vignette, at least as of that time, we're told that the plan internally was to have their match against the Bloodline headline that PLE. Now, anything can happen. The show is still a number of days away. I'm sure that the audience reaction can definitely, you know, adjust that a little bit, but Bloodline versus Cody and Roman was the plan for that as of last week. Chelsea Green vignette that aired this past week was planned even before the positive reception of the last one. Those were filmed together. They were well received, and they were filmed at the Performance Center, we're told. Kofi Kingston doing a rare indie appearance October 5th in Joliet, Illinois at Ego Pro. All the proceeds from his appearance are going to Navarro Farm, which is a farm that helps out adults and children with special needs. Luke Curtis was an extra on WWE Raw. Roger Mendez, Danny Storm were also included. Luke Curtis has been all over the place lately. It was clarified to us that contrary to the word out there, Bleacher Report is not being sunsetted. AEW pay-per-views are just being moved off of there. Britt Baker has not been on the road since All In, but she is set to return this week. Titus O'Neil has a speaking part in the I Am the Storm song that was used for the Cody Roman segment, but the song is performed by Vo Williams, who actually did the WWE Raw theme. Jacob Henry was backstage at this week's SmackDown. We have a whole bunch of notes on that over on FightfulSelect.com. I did a really fun interview with the Hardy Boys to promote those Spartanburg tapings that didn't happen. We didn't talk a ton about Spartanburg, so it's still very, very timely and all that stuff. I talked to them about a lot of stuff, about how they're emulated for heat as well as people, you know, using their moves. We talked about their WrestleCade events and just how meet and greets are to them. And Matt and Jeff both said that, you know, they always go over their time. And this is something I personally witnessed like a half dozen times. They go hours over their time because they want to show everybody that it does mean a lot to them. Jeff told me that he turned down a Hall of Fame induction with WWE, but Matt said that he would be very honored if they were inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame as well. Jeff said that Matt probably does the worst Jeff Hardy juke of anyone else. Matt said that the leg drop off the cage in 2005 is when he realized that he probably should have picked another move. And they don't believe they've done anything or been asked to do anything and turned it down. There was a table sandwich spot, and they said they were not looking forward to that. But they also said Michael Hayes is the most influential person in their career, without a doubt. They really seemed to like working with First Class, which is AJ Francis and Casey Navarro. Jeff said that the Bound for Glory 2005 Swanton on Abyss was by far the craziest one that he has ever done. There's so much good stuff in this interview, guys. Like, also, I accidentally released a CW Anderson interview days ahead of when I was supposed to. But I really encourage you guys to check that out as well. I talked to him about being in the ECW video game, MLW, and Brock Anderson, working in WWE, having the Anderson name, all that stuff. Like, I know that maybe CW Anderson isn't a person that jumps off the page and you go, oh my God, we got to watch that interview. Watch this interview, man. It is really, really good. One of my favorites that I have done all year. I loved ECW. Specifically, I loved the ECW on TNN era. I know a lot of people didn't, but I did. And he was a part of that. But man, that was a really, really fun one that I hope you guys check out. It's time for the Fightful Select Q&A. A reminder, guys, if I don't answer your question, it doesn't mean that you wasted your question or anything like that. I've got stuff that I am working on getting you guys updates for. And one of them is one that got asked about an awful lot, and I wanted to give you those details here on the Backstage Report as well, or whatever the hell we're calling this show at this point. But Mark Davis, I asked about him. I had probably a dozen inquiries over the last few weeks about him. Told that Mark Davis is still recovering from his injury that ended up being really bad, obviously. He's missed a ton of time. They have not had a timeline on him for like the duration of his injury. But I was just told that he is still recovering, but is progressing well. And that the injury in question and the details around it are sort of his story to put out there. So I will respect that and hope that we see this guy soon. Do you think it'll be Swerve Lashley or Swerve Shelton Benjamin as the first feud with the Hurt Syndicate? I think Shelton Benjamin. I think that's the one that makes an awful lot of sense. And they've had interest in him for quite some time. In light of Regal's recent comments, what does a day at Dynamite, Raw, or SmackDown look like for the wrestlers? Do they spend all day there? Is there an element of ring training? Is it a workout gym setup? So they get there very early in the day, usually about 8 or 9 hours before the show starts. They can do a lot of things. They can film interviews there. They can go over their creative there. They can just hang out in the locker room there. There's catering available for the women. They get into makeup and hair and all that, and have to get that done. Some of them can get alterations for their gear done on site. There's an awful lot that goes on there as well. And then, of course, they go over their creative. They go over their match. They do their match. And generally, people leave after that. In your opinion, who's the right type of guy to beat Danielson to end his career? A young guy who'd be made like the win, made by the win like Garcia Yuta Guevara, or a dastardly type heel like MJF, Hangman, or Christian? Well, I think it's going to be Jon Moxley. I'll just say that. I think it'll be Jon Moxley. If it's to permanently end his career, it should be a young talent for sure. But it's not going to permanently end his career. It'll just be his first, like his full-time thing. First Raw on Netflix in the Intuit Dome confirmed. It certainly seems like it's headed that way. Certainly seems that way. What's happened to NXT Europe? I have not heard an update on NXT Europe in quite some time. They had been saying that they were going to give us an update, gosh, in the fall of last year, and it was supposed to be before that, but I feel like, and I want to say, I feel like, not reporting, that the merger or the deal there to make WWE a part of TKO definitely adjusted some things for those plans. If Adam Cole wouldn't have broken his ankle last year, was he in line to win the world championship? It was definitely hinted that way to me. Again, that's the type of thing anybody should aggregate. I'll work on a story, but it was definitely hinted that way. Do you think Danhausen at least attempts to get into WWE when his contract is up? He's got quite a bit of time left, but I mean, I would say why not, right? AEW has new Danhausen merch. Does this mean he's coming back? I've heard of no plans of him coming back, but they should. It's spooky season. They were selling masks at Grand Slam as well. When do you think we'll see the Motor City Machine Guns in NXT? It would make sense for this week with Shawn Michaels telling Rick Pitino of Sports Illustrated that there are surprises planned. Hunch, not a report. Is Mercedes cleared? She hasn't been on TV since her match at All Out, and they haven't built up anyone as her next challenger either. I would assume no, since she didn't appear on the show for Grand Slam and didn't wrestle at Grand Slam. If ratings keep dropping, would WBD step in and tell Tony Khan he needs to make a change in creative? They could suggest it, but it's his company. And also, their viewership is above what the original numbers were anticipated to be anyway. With injury time being added to the Lucha Bros, do you think they will be featured on TV again? I think they'll be offered to. Do you think Julia beats Roxanne on Tuesday? Yes, I do. Has WWE quietly shut down its film division, or are there documentaries that are the main focus now? I mean, they have quietly shut down their film division, but documentaries like here and there are utilized, but largely like that's an A&E thing now. WWE is very smart about licensing those out as well. House Sock says Moxley shouldn't be losing this early into his new angle, but Danielson also shouldn't be dropping the belt so soon. What's your take on this match? My take is that Danielson loses this match and Jon Moxley is the AEW world champion. And that's what I believe that Bryan Danielson probably wanted. What's up with Miro's release? I haven't heard that he's gotten it as of yet. I've been given no indication that he's actually got that release, even though he asked for it. Can see the Iconics have posted pictures of them wrestling or pictures of their wrestling boots together, implying their training. Heard of any plans? Where would you like to see them? I'd like to see them in NXT. I think that they could help out a lot of talent there. And I would like to see them then go back to the main roster if they feel comfortable. Sean Spears has said that Cassie gets the itch here and there. I was told that them pulling their merch store isn't anything salacious, though. Is Bandido healthy now, just waiting on AEW Creative to find something for him? Thanks. If he was healthy and was waiting for AEW Creative, I feel like he'd be working other places. Because the majority of his dates early on in 2013 were not AEW, even before, like, even when once he was there, like, pretty heavily, he was still working the Crash and stuff in Mexico and stuff like that. Seems like NXT is leaning into the fact that their women's division is strong with Julia, Roxanne, Vakura, Delta, Jada, Soul, etc. Do you see any other big moves in that department on the horizon, like Megan Bain, Yatami, Miyu, Yamashita, etc.? Personally, I'd love to see Megan Bain in NXT. I don't see any of those three on the horizon. Not that they wouldn't be good there. It's just that's the reality is that NXT likes to focus on a few incoming big talent at one time. What is the status of Sheamus's WWE contract? He is re-signed to a multi-year deal. Chances of Rhea Ripley being traded to SmackDown eventually seems that like that's where all the women are her size for her to fight. There are probably going to be a lot of changes coming for the roster after the turn of the year, I would expect. Has Ryback been blacklisted by wrestling promotions? Doesn't seem to have any bookings, just want to create YouTube videos of himself pushing his narrative, which seems to be mostly negative. I have never heard that he's been blackballed or anything like that. It's never been a thing that has been brought up to me at one of the number of indie shows that I've worked or covered or been at that he was blackballed. In fact, he worked about, gosh, I want to say almost 50 indie matches from the time he left. It was about August 2016. For a couple years, but he hasn't worked a match in over 6 years since then. I don't know if that's something that he wants to do. I feel like his conditioning and all that stuff, he'd probably be able to for what he wants to do. But I don't think he's blackballed. Hey, Sean, there's something really shocking about the numbers of black male wrestlers working PLEs floating around on Twitter the last few days or so. Is this something WWE is aware of? Do they have any plans to address it on PLEs in the future? WWE has been made aware of it. It's a thing that I just don't think that, like, came to mind necessarily. I've never heard anybody say, yes, this was intentional or anything like that. I did hear people saying, well, that's obviously something that will be addressed now, but we'll see how it's addressed. And it's more about black male single talent getting featured. Any more news on Shane? The Vince doc showed me he loves the business, so I'm interested if he's still legitimately pursuing AEW. We're going to do a review on this documentary in the coming days, but Shane came out looking pretty good in this, I thought. He had that meeting with Tony. He ran into the Young Bucks at the airport. He ran into Mercedes at the airport, which is very funny. That, like, he's like Tom Hanks in the terminal at this point. I really think he would be good for the Elite. I think that would be funny as long as they don't overuse them or anything like that. Can you give us an update on what's going on with Nick Gage? Details have been completely absent thus far, and people need to know something. He had some personal issues and was removed from his GCW bookings. And GCW is under the impression that knowing those issues, other places have tried to book him. What do you think of the Swerve comments regarding Fox, intentionally leaked or something that maybe he wishes he could take back? He wishes he could take it back. That was not intentionally leaked. I'm told that he did not know that a phone was in the vicinity, and you could tell it was, I would say, maybe more ominously filmed. I'm not saying like that from you know, a sneaky perspective or anything like that. It's just he was a little oblivious to a phone being there. He was talking with a friend. AEW has been my favorite company since their debut, but after 5 years, why do they still have technical issues? Every company's going to have technical issues, probably not to the degree that AEW has had, but I think it was specific to the TNT feed. I don't know what was going on there, but it does happen quite a bit. I mean, they got a lot of their people on the production end from TNA, and I had heard that the adjustment from taped to live was, you know, not an easy one for some of them. Ali says, If the Observer reports Dustin Rhodes potentially signing with AEW are true, how big of a deal is this for AEW from an off and on screen perspective? On screen, it's more of a deal for ROH, or on screen rather. Off screen, I mean, yeah, he helps out with the women and stuff. I think that he would be of great use to WWE right now, but he wants to be where he wants to be, and that's what's important. But I think that he should get an actual run near the top of AEW or something substantial, like something like what we're seeing out of Jeff Jarrett right now. Is there any possible way we could get some sort of comprehensive list of all the people WWE assigned to the Legends Nostalgia contracts? We do have a resources section. We're working on that. We're going to see what we can do about adding those. Any updates on the whereabouts of Crazy Steve from TNA? He hasn't wrestled in the last like month and a half or so, but he did work the JCW shows. He was in Mexico a little bit. So I know he's been off TNA for quite some time, but he had worked indies up until about a month ago. But he does have a date set for October, I believe. So he'll be back in the fold on the indie circuit around then. BL says, no question, just want to say the yearly auto-renew charge yesterday. Surprised how time flies. Been a crazy year of news, and thank you for the hump and whatever you decide to call this show. I forget what I call this show sometimes. But it is sort of the anchor of what we do here, and I've had talks about adding additional shows and all that. You can tell we've scaled back. The list goes on because... here's the deal there. We do the show at 2 now, and at 3, Jimmy has to get his kids off the bus. And I wanted to combine this to open up my schedule to do interviews and stuff like that. But, man, when we got the option to do the yearly subscriptions, I didn't think anybody would do it. I never thought anybody would subscribe to Fightful Select. I was like, man, there's already, you know, free news and all that stuff. But I'm so proud of what we've done here and the community that we've cultivated, and I hope you guys know that I'm going to continue to constantly try to give you guys as much as I can for whatever it is that we charge. Right now, it's $5 a month, $54 a year. Jimmy's wanted to increase that a little bit. I won't let him increase it much if he ever does, but I always want to give you guys so much that you can't say, oh, well, you know what? It's not worth it. Maybe you can't do it that month or for a while. I've definitely been there, but I want you to know that myself, Alex, Kate, Corey Brennan, the people that work on Select, Rob Wilkins does our interview notes. We try to give you the most that we can because we love doing this. If there was going to be a Lex Luger on Nitro type of debut return on TV this week or next, who would be your guess? Well, Lex Luger on Nitro would have been like a they're here under AEW contract 1 week and then they're there next week. So my answer is going to be nobody. It wouldn't be anybody. If it were just a surprise, I would say the Motor City Machine Guns. What move do you want the Cincinnati Reds to make this offseason besides selling the team? I would legitimately love for them to sell the team. Like, my first love was baseball. Baseball and wrestling, man, that's what I loved. I came to love football and basketball and other sports years later, but it really hurts my heart and hurts my soul of how, first off, how some fans will accept mediocrity, especially coming from the Cincinnati Reds. When I grew up with the Cincinnati Reds, when I was first born, they won a World Series, and they were, you know, coming out of a historic run in the 70s and even in the 80s, where it was basically there to stay relevant and get Pete Rose his hit title, all that stuff. They were at least decent around then. But the Reds in 92 were good. In 94, they were good. 95, they were good. They probably got... I'm always of the opinion they got jobbed out of a World Series in 94, regardless of how good the Yankees and the Expos were doing. But we had a brief window in the early 2010s where the Reds were good. And other than that, it just hasn't been that way this entire millennium. And that is, it's unreal. It's unreal. And I know the person said, oh, what changes would you make? Okay, so see if you can trade Candelario. Probably not. I know they're not going to re-sign India, but I probably would try. If he loves this city that much and he's got a 356 on base percentage, I would probably try to retain him. But I'm going to be real. The Cincinnati Reds probably aren't going to do anything or anything substantial. They drew over 2 million fans for the second straight year, not even trying. They hadn't done that since 2014 and 2015. So they're probably not going to try again. They had 7 straight years where they drew under 2 million and they were able to get back over that mark just because of Ellie De La Cruz. And they're going to get Matt McClain back next year. And they'll say, well, you know, now that Matt McClain's back, well. And yeah, Matt McClain probably would have helped them win a solid 3 or 4 more ball games and made them about 500. I don't see the Reds being contenders for a long time, at least under this ownership. It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. It's a bummer. And I'll be honest, the first time I really noticed it, the first time that it really, really hit me, Wade Miley, the year after he threw a no-hitter and had a 3.37 ERA and started 28 games to the Reds. Listen, I know that he struggled to stay on the field after that, but they waived him. They waived him so they wouldn't have to pay $10 million. And then what they did was acquire Mike Minor, who was significantly worse, for about the same amount of money. And I said, okay, this is inept. Sorry to go for on a Reds rant here. But I was prompted, damn it. Any updates on a UK WWE PLE next year? UK is always going to be in the mix. It's always going to be in the mix. Have you heard any talent reactions to the Phoenix situation about adding injury time? Yeah, it's a lot of probably shouldn't have tipped your hand before everything was set type of mood from the people that I've spoken with, at least. Should AEW continue to book Arthur Ashe going forward? It's a very confusing stadium. I'm also willing to bet that Tony Khan has likely not made the walk recently from where you get dropped off at your car to walking into the venue. It's a haul both ways. It is not convenient for the audience. It is very inconvenient. I'll say this, their merch setup is beautiful there, but it's a lot better than the single grate that they show up with sometimes, but it is very inconvenient to get to that venue. Very. I think they should run a different venue. Do you think there's a chance DG shows up on one of the two Florida CW shows? What is your percentage if he does? I think less than 10%. Less than 10%. Is Cora Jade close to returning? Man, we hadn't got one of these in quite a few weeks, but she had an ACL injury, and as I will tell many people, that is usually a year-long absence. Usually. She got injured in mid-January. It has only been about 9 months. But, yeah, I wouldn't expect her back through the end of the year. Who do you think will leave AEW and go to WWE? I feel like I need to preface these and say, not for aggregation. Now, because it's not just the aggregator accounts, like Wrestle Purists and Wrestle Features and stuff like that, they're usually very responsible with how they disseminate stuff. But it's like random people that'll be like, Sean said he thinks Malachi Black is going back to WWE. And then I got like everybody in that household not happy. But I think that Malachi Black will probably go back to WWE. I think Ricky Starks is probably going to head that way if he ends up being out of contract. But yeah, those make sense to me. Sean, you mentioned many times in the past how injury time can be added at the end of a contract. Can taking personal time off during the contract be added as well? Yes, it can be under most circumstances. What do you think about the WWE Survivor Series 2024 and the potential Bloodlines War Games? I think it should happen. I definitely think it should happen, and I definitely think that Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa should happen well before WrestleMania. That shouldn't be a WrestleMania match at this point. You can tell that they see that. You can tell that they see that Jacob Fatu is that guy. Is there a particular person or department that does all the releasing of planted stories and, quote, leaks in WWE? I know the meme is that it's all Chris LaGentle, but I often wonder if it's just one person, if there's a whole department working on it. So I've mentioned this in the past. The reason I took issue with the Chris LaGentle stories and then everybody just saying his name and saying LaGentle activity. He is largely not even in that department now. He is in talent relations. I know that by title, he's there, but like he's largely doing contracts and stuff now. I can say this, only once or twice ever did WWE try to do something like that with me. They'll run their viewership numbers to me sometimes, and I'll say WWE claims, WWE is saying internally, etc. But one time, a person sent me the AEW Fast Nationals. I feel like, yeah, it was one time, and then I verified them, I ran them, and then the next week I said, hey, I got to verify these. And then they fed them to Raj Giri. And I was like, I see what they're doing here. And then they tried to do it again. And I said, no, I'm not having any part of this. And Raj said the same thing. Then they started to feed them to people that they don't really care. So the person who did that is no longer with the company. And I mean, I know there are people that say, well, why wouldn't WWE just lie to you? Well, I mean, because then I'm going to out them immediately if they do. That's why, like, when people say, well, haven't you considered this person lied to you? I mean, yeah, if they want to get called out for providing false information, that's fine. But we also verify our information. It's very important. But the person that did that is no longer there. I will say this. Almost everybody that I deal with in the WWE PR department is nice and hardworking and understandable that I am going to report a whole bunch of stuff that they don't want me to report. I know that for a long time it was instilled in them, don't care about people's opinions, care about how they treat people. Now, there are definitely a couple people there that are still, you know, feeding some negative stuff about AEW to people. That is absolutely happening. It has happened for a long time. I've never experienced that from AEW. I can tell you that much. I've never had somebody in an AEW PR capacity say, well, hey, did you hear this about WWE? Like, it's just not really a thing that's ever happened with me personally. I can't speak to anybody else in that, but I can say this, Chris LaGentle never once has provided me anything negative about another company ever at all. And I maintained a working relationship with a whole lot. I would say, gosh, probably 15, 20 different PR people across all the wrestling companies. And he's the only one that gets accused of that, and he's never done it with me. Maybe other people, but not with me. Craig says, has there been any more discussions about potential women's mid-card belts on the main roster? No, you said previously nothing has ever been official. It was just internal discussions. I have not heard anything beyond internal discussions. Any talks about Brock Lesnar returning for Mania season? Nope, not that I've ever heard. Not that I've heard at all. With all the streaming and TV agreements going on or in the works, can you give us a quick rundown of what show will be on what platform, starting when, to the best of your knowledge? Yes, Raw will be starting not this week, but next week, 2 hours on the USA Network until January, at which time it will be on Netflix. NXT on Tuesdays is now on the CW from 8 to 10. It will have a hard out before 10. AEW Dynamite right now is on TBS until the end of the year, at which point they will have announced a new deal and they will determine where that will be. Impact, TNA Impact is on Thursdays at 8 p.m. on Access. SmackDown Fridays, USA Network, 8 p.m. It does not have a hard out at 10 anymore. They've got a little bit more flexibility. Right now, Collision is on TNT Saturday nights for 2 hours. We'll see where that lands with the WBD deal as well. Rampage right now on TNT would not surprise me to see that either nixed or turned into Shockwave and put on a different channel. What up-and-comer would you like to see win a title in AEW? Takeshita, if you can count him, which I think he's well on his way. I don't know if you can count Lady Frost, but I'm going to count Lady Frost. Do you see Lucha Bros being let out early from their contracts if they agree to put talent over? Maybe. SRS, any word on how many collision shows must be live in the next media deal? I don't know if any are required to be live. Besides the rumors about Roxanne being main roster bound after she drops the belt, is there anyone else from NXT you think may be called up before the next draft? I've long been saying JC Jane. Like, she's one that I look at and say, yeah, she should probably get called up. Normally, I would say Obafemi should be fast-tracked, but I think he'll get a run at the top as well. I don't think Ethan Page will spend too much more time in NXT after his title reign. He's one that I'm looking at as being called up eventually, too. Probably Sol Ruka. She seems to have worked well with TNA and on Main Event as well. Any ETA on Samoa Joe and MJF and how much longer they might have to film? Well, Joe's been out for 2.5 months. I know MJF has been filming all month long. So, hunch, estimate, I'd say by November, by full gear, maybe, is what I think. Do you think Daniel's staying with AEW? I got it 50-50 right now. If I had to pick one, I would say he'd stay with AEW. How does the switch to CW and Netflix affect the content on Peacock? It does not affect the content on Peacock. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Let the world know about Fightful Select. I appreciate you all so much. We're out.